This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time.
Shale!
Cheyenne!
Your drink!
Oh, it's not that exciting.
Oh, but it's such a cool color.
But it's in an exciting glass to like make it look more exciting.
Okay, I'm excited. Welcome back to Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. It is
Happy New Year!
2023, witches. We did it. We made it through.
Another cycle around the sun.
Yeah, hope you had a gorgeous solstice. Hope you had a gorgeous Yuletide. Whatever you celebrate, I hope it was awesome. And I hope that Santa Paws brought you so many dog bones.
What?
But before we start, before we get crazy and weird and wild, Chia, what are you drinking tonight in your cool glass, your cool grown-up glass?
So your girl got a little too turnt for her 30-year-old body several weeks ago. At the time of recording this.
So real.
At a Christmas party. And so it was a very fun Christmas party. I had a really good time, but I paid for it the next day. So your girl's taking a break, like a good solid break in the year. So this is just kombucha, but it's got like spirulina and stuff like that in it. So that's where the really pretty blue, green, Grinchy colors coming from. But we're starting off the new year healthy with, because we were just talking about how all hot girls are witches and all hot girls have like IBS issues and stomach issues. And this has got all of the probiotics and the healthy gut stuff. So kombucha, cheers to the new year. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a solstice spritz, another drink of my own invention. We're recording this the day after solstice and I took my solstice bath today because prefer to take baths during the day when I have time to clean up all of the things that I put in them and not like at the end of my night. So I celebrated my solstice today. So I have frozen cranberries and ice. And then it's one part Campari, which is bitters, which is why it's
pink. I was like, I have no idea what Campari is.
Yeah, so one part bitters, a full squeezed orange, and a full squeezed lime. And then it's just regular Perrier all the way up to the top.
Just regular Perrier. NBD.
Just the regular boring kind without any extra flavors in it. Just normal bubbly Perrier.
You're so fancy.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm impressed at all the different ways I have found to make a new and exciting cocktail with my Negroni ingredients.
Honestly, it's very impressive because like I find something in my fridge that I'm like, oh, I've had kombucha in here since August. I'll drink that for my cocktail tonight and call it a day.
Call it a dizzy damn day. Well, we have a guest with us. You heard him bark earlier.
they don't let me out much.
It's okay.
And this is why.
Who is the mystery voice behind the veil?
Yes. So everyone's favorite from season one, Connor Petit, back in the studio with us today. Oh. Clip, 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 clip.
Your favorite phoenix rising from the ashes has returned.
What are you drinking? Do you have a drink?
Yeah, I too decided to go on the really healthy train. You know, wanted to really keep my gut microbiome balanced. So I decided to put, I got some bourbon and put some bitters in there. You know, yeah, I just really, well, I just figure, you know, it kills everything in your gut microbiome, but it's going to kill all the bad things.
Good so, and bad, doesn't matter.
Good and bad. I'm starting with a clean slate this new year. making sure I'm just wiping everything clean. You know what I mean?
That is one way to do it. Excellent choice. You're really going into the new year vibe. I love it.
Hashtag blessed.
Excuse me. I'm sorry for that. Sorry that you had to hear that in your ears.
Sorry to the headphone users. That was amazing.
Oh. Live, laugh, lobotomy.
Gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss.
Yes. Snaps for girl boss horses everywhere. Okay. We are going to start this year the same way we ended last year, and we are going to pull from our Universe Has Your Back Oracle deck, because today's episode is all about perwitching. Perwitching for yourself, perwitching for your cow, perwitching for your whole family.
We're making perwitching happen.
Perwitching is a thing.
Perwitching is a thing.
So today we're going to be talking about giving ourselves perwitching slips. We're going to be talking about meeting your higher self, what that experience is like. We're going to talk about just owning your own weird, quirky nonsense and showing up in the world unapologetically as you. We're going to be signing your perwitching slips. So many things are happening, but we're going to start with a little note from the universe that says, in every moment, the universe is conspiring to bring me toward right-minded thinking and the energy of love.
Mm. That's such a good way to start. I love that.
Keep love at the center of all you do, and good things will happen. And the bad things will be a little bit easier. So yeah. That's the vibe. So Connor, how the hell are you? When we last spoke to you, it was the beginning of this podcast. It was peak COVID, peak pandemic. We were
all of the things.
Yeah, you were life coaching, you were teaching bar three because you weren't acting because COVID. Like, what's even happened in the last 2 years since our listeners have talked to you?
Well, first of all, I don't know about you all and those of you listening in the future. I'm coming from the past, talking to you in the future. How cool is that? I'm such a dork. Shut up, Connor. Things have been going really, really well. It's really funny looking, like, in some ways, you know, the last 2 years are like it was 2 minutes ago I was talking to you two, and then in some ways it was like a lifetime ago. And I don't know, when I look back on the last 2 years, the thing that jumps out to me, the biggest word is discomfort. Yeah. But in a really positive way. It was a lot of coming to terms, because I had those things taken away from me. It was a lot of exploring different avenues that I wouldn't normally have gotten to explore with. I think a lot of us experienced that, where we had time to, you know, just pause and stop and think and realizing that who am I? Like, you wake up in the morning and you finally like look in the mirror and you're like, I wake up with you every morning and I just don't know who you are.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way.
You're just like, we've spent, you know, the last 30 years together, and we haven't really had a chance to kind of like just stop and talk, you and I. And if you're wondering it, I do talk to myself like this. It's a wild ride. But yeah, it was filled with a lot of discomfort. It was filled with a lot of growth, which I know sounds really cliche and vague, but it was a lot of trying things and discovering a lot of uncomfortable truths about myself, a lot of uncomfortable things about, because one of the most uncomfortable things that I think any of us can go through, and it is part of almost a rite of passage, I think, is discovering what you actually want. Mm-hmm. And I think we think, oh, everyone wants that. We don't, though. I think we want to avoid, we are terrified to admit to ourselves what we actually want, and what actually will bring us fulfillment, I find it the greatest cosmic irony. The thing that we most want, we will do everything to avoid going towards and letting ourselves have. And I've already gone off on, I'm sure, 7 different tangents.
No,
did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It's funny you say that too, because I do feel like COVID warped time in a lot of interesting ways. But in this podcast space too, I feel like particularly in the last 6 months, Shale and I have both kind of rocketed through some growth portals of our own. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how I feel listening back to season one, where I'm like, oh, who are you guys? You're so cute. My friends. But I feel like even for us, the people we were at the beginning of season one and the people we are now are just totally different people with a lot of the same really lovely qualities, but it's just interesting to experience it in a recorded way like this too. Mm-hmm. Where we have, now that we're in season four, we're getting more, this season we've had more listeners than we've ever had before, almost double, I think, last season's listenership. So we're growing in a really interesting way right now in the podcast space, where people are meeting us at the beginning. They're meeting 2 years ago us, and they're like, oh my gosh, I love this. You're here. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm so glad you are. I hope you're still interested in hanging out throughout the whole life cycle of it. Especially if you're binging it, I feel like it's a lot more noticeable if you're listening through. But I'll have guests even reach out and comment to me about something that we said in season one or whatever that I totally either forgot about or haven't thought about. And it's like, oh yeah, that's we've been recording our conversations and putting them on the internet for a good 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Crystal is our favorite listener. She's also my cousin and bestie. She calls me out on that all the time, because it'll literally be the episode we recorded the week before, and she'll be like, oh my gosh, you guys talked about blah blah blah. And I was like, we did. Forget about it as soon as it happens. I don't know what it is, but
sometimes even in the editing process, I'll be like, wow, we'll finish something, and I'll in my head in the moment, I'll be like, oh, this is gonna be a beast. There's gonna be so much in this.
Yeah.
And then I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, we sound like we know what we're talking about way more than I think we do. pulling it off. We're fooling everyone.
Right.
That raises an interest. Do you two, out of curiosity, do you feel more confident in general in yourselves and in kind of what you're doing just day-to-day life?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah, I would say so too. And it's this kind of weird nexus of people, we never set out to be that podcast that's here's how to do blah, blah, blah. Here's how to do witchcraft or spirituality or whatever. We never really set out to do that. We just kind of wanted to share our experience and what we learn along with everybody. And that still very much still stands. But there is this kind of weird nuance, and I don't know if weird's the right word. It feels weird to me because of things like imposter syndrome and stuff like that, but where people almost seek out guidance or advice sometimes, because they do feel that we have created a space where people can ask those kind of questions, which I think is awesome. But then there's still these parts of me where I'm like, I am absolutely not a teacher, never going to set out to be a teacher. I don't feel like I'm qualified to be a teacher, but it does feel good to know that somebody feels safe enough to come forward with questions that they have or something that's on their own journey that they want to share with us or reflect with us. And that is a huge honor and also very terrifying at the same time. Mm. But taking it back to your question about confidence, I'm the most introverted person on the freaking planet, social anxiety to the max, but something about this podcast space has made me grow in a way where I feel more comfortable just reaching out to people that I may not know as well, but feel inspired by, or want to connect with people in a new way that I haven't before. And so that kind of confidence has been really special, I think.
It's been a fun space. I mean, it's truly, I know every podcast says this, but we have the best listeners.
We do. Our freaking listeners.
Ours are the best, bar none, hands down. The kindest, sweetest, most forgiving, understanding of people. And they're powerful as fuck. Some really wild, powerful witches follow us, and then they'll reach out in moments like that too, where I'm like, oh, no. Like, you know this way more than I know this. So that's really fun too. Yeah, I also think part of it is realizing the community is a lot smaller. It's a lot bigger and a lot smaller than you realize it is, where you realize that, like, a lot of these people who maybe at the beginning felt really inaccessible to us are, like, more than happy and more than willing to sit down and share their knowledge for an hour. Like, I feel like there's a lot more room. There's a lot, it's a lot tighter knit community than I think sometimes it feels on the internet.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I'm so glad you said that, because my experience over the last 2 years, a big discovery that I made in myself was that I'll speak for myself, and I'm going to hazard a guess that I'm not alone, is that I'm constantly looking for connection, community, and intimacy within.
He's a Libra sun, in case anyone was wondering.
What?
I said he's a Libra sun, in case anyone was wondering.
What gave me away? Yeah, hardcore. Flying those scales proud. Community is intimacy within that community is something that you know, we're constantly always walking this balance, right, between living in a hyper individualized society, a lot of us, which is great. The individual is so powerful and beautiful, and I love connecting with individuals, but also realizing that a group of individuals make up a community. And I think so many of us were longing and are longing for a space of people that see us. We want to be seen, we want to be understood, we want to connect, we want to help others, we want to be helped. And you two providing and holding that space, and a big part of that is not just being a source of information and wisdom, but part of wisdom is also knowing how to turn to members of your own tribe and community that you cultivate on the way and go, hey, you're really good at this, or I would love to connect with you on this, or I need some advice. That give and take, I think, is really important and really magical. And you two do such a wonderful job of cultivating that energy.
Give and we cry. Stop it.
I'm an avid listener, so those are just my observations.
That stresses me out. Stresses me out when guests listen.
Really?
Only in the sense that I just, if I could control how you listen, which I know I can't, right? You're going to hop around to topics or like lengths of time that are specific to what you're experiencing in your own life right now too. But like, if your first experience with us is like an unhinged morning brew where Shale and I are just like talking about nothing for an hour versus like a nice interview with, you know, a key opinion leader in the field.
But listen, I am the worst interrupter, and it is a toxic trait of mine, and you'll just have to forgive me. But like those morning brews and my experience, a lot of your power that I feel from you two comes from those, yes, the interviews and the expertise, but in who you are. I think a lot of us forget that our power resides from our authenticity. And sometimes we're trying to be a version of ourselves or present a version of ourselves or be what we think others want us to be, which is totally fine, right? That's human. But what's so cool about you is in those moments where I'm like, oh, they're actually like this, like those unhinged moments where you're talking about where it's real. And I'm like, it's one of those moments where I'm like, I'm like that. I do that. That's a quirky, eccentric thing that I do. And all of a sudden I don't feel, it seems like such a little thing, but it's little things like that where we go, I'm not alone, right? Like I am part, everyone walking down the street is at the very least as interesting as I am. And there's a whole life there.
I'm so fucking happy you're back, Connor.
I know, it's ridiculous, right? You will not find another human soul on this whole entire planet who will make you feel as good about yourself after one conversation as this man right here. Seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
You are like Botox and mushrooms and alcohol and all of the things. Like, that's the high. That you are the high of all of the things together that just make a part, like all of the makeup, all of the fantastic outfits, all of the things. That's what you make me feel.
You heard it here first, folks.
Just a speedball of everything good in the universe.
Coming next year, Botox Psychedelics by Connor Padilla, and it will be a party.
I would buy them.
We are. Is that our new sponsorship?
I would inject those into my face every day.
Botox Psychedelics, and instead of like tripping and seeing, you know, the lines between the intersectional multiverse and the Fae and all of the magic, you just see pedantic inspirational quotes all over. Yes.
I could live with that.
It'll be perfect. There was a point to that before I love bombed you.
Oh, I'm never able to follow up. Oh, authenticity. That's right.
Where
authenticity.
Yay. Oh no, I had a serious question for you. A genuine question for you as someone. So like, I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. You say you listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Is that truth? Is that honest truth?
That is honest truth. Yeah.
It's like calling you out.
No, because what I'm curious is, because I would say you fall on this spectrum, and like, forgive me if this is like a weird way to say this, but you are not someone I would classify as our like OG target market audience in the sense that you're not a practicing witch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious how, even in the episodes that you maybe don't relate to what we're talking about, do you still find value in that?
I sure do. And it's this really, I don't know what the word is, but it is this weird thing where it's so funny in the same way where you're like, I don't know how to ask this. I'm trying to piece together. I'm trying to take something very abstract and put it into concrete words. I often say, and I experienced, there is, you know, when you're talking about magic and witchcraft and manifesting and all of these things, you know, a lot of this, dare I say, all of it is rooted, if you look at it, first of all, because my brain is an ADHD conglomerate of madness, I am constantly looking at things through, like, multiple angles. The first way I'm looking at something, you know, you think about some anthropologically, right? There is a reason that when we talk about magic or we talk about manifesting, these are archetypal universal concepts where I can take this and even to another culture that I've never met before, and we may not have the same word for it. The rules may be slightly different. The mythology, the ethos, the story may be different, but there is 100% things within that that we would all immediately recognize. So there is something innately human in the things that you all are talking about, and the things, and there is a, I talk a lot, and I'm sorry about that. But when I was a kid, I was my Aunt Kathy would always take us on these trips, and I remember being taken to we were doing a summer trip camping through New Mexico, and going to, you know, Taos and visiting a lot of different spots in Navajo Nation, and I remember my Aunt Kathy telling me stories, because she used to live down there, and you know, this is a there is something powerful and old and I remember talking to a guy that was a friend of my Aunt Kathy's, and what he said to me is, because he, he didn't really, we would talk about, the medicine men and different practices that happened with the indigenous peoples there, and I just assumed that, well, in my arrogance, just going to be fully transparent here as a kid, I was like, well, none of this is true, right? And I will never forget, it was after dinner. He had invited us over, and he was looking at me, and he said, "Ancient wisdom should not be cast off like so many old pairs of boots." And I don't know why that stuck with me. That regardless, I think there is a lot of power in the narratives and the stories that we tell. As an actor, I know I view storytelling as a ritual, as its own kind of theater is a form of ritual magic, that we come together in this ritualistic space, and we conjure something, and there is a spell, right? I'm doing the exact same pieces of a ritual every night, but something slightly different comes out because there's different variables, there are different people within this space that I'm sharing it with, and so different things will happen. So storytelling, belief, these things, by believing in something and by practicing something, we endow things with magic. We endow things with belief, and that in and of itself creates full stop, period. And I know this was a long, rambling answer, and if you're listening at home, you're like, I couldn't follow.
I was just in here thinking about the fact that I was like, we don't send most times, unless the guest requests it, we don't really send the questions ahead of time. And I was like, Connor, you just gave the most articulate answer I could have ever imagined off the cuff. Like,
I really appreciate it. It is a big part of the last 2 years has been me embracing a lot of different contradictions, or what I view as contradictions within myself. That, I went to biology. Science. I love science. Listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, like all of this stuff. Shout out to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He definitely listens to
But like I look. Oh, of course. My
Witchcraft
buddy Neil, he and
podcasts
I
are
are on a first name
100% of
basis.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's alley. He's like, yeah, I'm going
Absolutely.
to listen to these girls talk
100%.
about ghosts for an hour.
But at the same time, I am the same kid that also get like, there was a cemetery in Idaho City, and we, I was back there a few years ago with my mom, and I was like, it was at night, I was like, I'm not walking in there. Or like I 100% have a full deck of tarot cards, and I love getting readings because I look at all of this stuff as different languages telling a story. The major arcana in tarot is, it's the hero's quest. It's Beowulf. It is the story of atoms and carbon coming together to create, the universe, all of these different molecular pieces. If that's not magic, what is? To me, it's not even necessarily a belief in any one thing written down. It is a there is magic and mystery, and yes, there is science and study and intellectual responsibility, and I'll preach that until the cows come home. But there is
Oh, that
also
bullshit
ancient.
question around here.
Yeah.
Well, but there's also ancient wisdom, and I think there is, and it is rooted in, when we look at intersectionality between misogyny and patriarchy and racism and colonialism, there is this erasure of ancient wisdoms that didn't fall within a preset narrative, or a white Western male colonial narrative. And so I think we would do well, just as David was his name, once said, you can't cast off ancient wisdom like so many old pairs of boots. I am not more intelligent than hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution. There is mystery and wonder, and there is science and understanding, and both of these things exist. And if you look inside both of them, you're going to see patterns. So I always try. It was Neil deGrasse Tyson himself, and then I'll shut up. I swear this is just one question. I know, but it was Neil deGrasse Tyson himself who I loved. He said, "It is both as intellectually lazy," because his big thing is intellectual responsibility. For him, it is equally. And somebody knocks on my door and they're selling crystals, right? This crystal will heal you. And he says, it is, to me, it is equally as intellectually irresponsible to cast that off and say, that doesn't work. Get off my doorstep. That's a bunch of mumbo jumbo, as it is to just give the person the money sight unseen. He argues both of those things are equally as intellectually irresponsible. So it's all about, for me, keeping an open mind, knowing I know nothing. And there are those with wisdom and understanding and life experiences and stories. And if I am coming from a place of judgment, if I'm coming from a place of I know everything, how can I be open to the wisdom and the understanding and the stories that are a gift that can be shared?
So good.
You don't know everything, Jan.
You don't know hardly anything.
And I know that's scary. I know that's scary. But it's also exciting because, man, sometimes the thing that's going to give fulfillment, the thing that is going to bring you joy, the crack to the that's finally going to make the character that I'm playing lock in place is usually on the other side of fear. And if I lean into it instead of resisting it, or worse, getting angry at it, judging it, hating the thing that for some reason I'm feeling fear about, if I can instead lean into it and get curious about it, there is a wealth behind that fear.
So if you were to give someone a permission slip, and their big thing is fear, what is the permission slip or the permission that you would give them to be able to unlock that curiosity? Like if that's the barrier, right? Because when you're confronting fear, it's really hard to feel curious sometimes. What is that guidance, I guess, you would give them?
You're doing everything right. You're supposed to feel fear. We look at fear, and I think I talked about this the last time I had the privilege of being here, which is oftentimes we view certain emotions in the human experience as this, we classify arbitrarily things as good emotions and bad emotions, or, oh, this feels good and that feels bad, and I don't want to feel the bad things, I just want to feel the good things. And it's interesting, we assign moral, I find it interesting that we assign moral and ethical judgment to emotions, because everything you experience, you're experiencing for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like nothing exists in a vacuum. Like your body, your biochemistry, all of these things didn't create something because the universe gets a kick out of tormenting you. Like all right, all of these things exist. Like the fear is there for a reason. It's a useful tool. Over hundreds of thousands of years, you developed the ability to feel fear. And so my permission slip for somebody who's on the threshold of something and you're experiencing fear, and it's you're making all the excuses not to cross that threshold, to take that first step into this this hero's quest or this journey that you're about to go on, is breathe it in. Just stop and breathe. What are you making it mean about you? And get curious. Ask yourself, what are you making it mean about you? Why are you afraid of this?
Yeah. I think that boils down to just like do it scared too. Mm-hmm. Like that's just the reality is that fear is always there. And I think it's the same thing as the lack of intellectual responsibility. It's your how do I want to say that? It worked in here till it started coming.
Oh, it totally did. Oh, I know.
Lean into it.
Is that fear is always going to be there. Like fear is there to protect you in a lot of different ways, but fear is also not going to tell you the truth about every situation. But trying to eliminate it just adds another stressor.
Yeah.
It's just like the acceptance of fear. Maybe it's more of an acceptance. Like just do it scared. Do it anyway.
100%.
Like, once you look at the monster, once you uncover your eyes and you stop doing that, you're not really here, I don't want to see you, you realize that you can handle a lot more than you think you can.
And it reminds me of like the conversation that we had with Hannah Haddadi, who's also coming back soon, where she talks about like taking an emotion. So you could take something like fear, but usually it's like anger or sadness, and like almost seeing them as an embodied person and looking at that fear. And I think what you could do, Connor, when you're talking about getting curious is like, who are you, fear? What do you look like? What do you act like? How do you manifest? When do you manifest and why? You know, start kind of asking those questions as if they were a person sitting in front of you, as if they were that person you're meeting in the mirror every morning, right? And just having that conversation with them, because I think it's the unknown that makes people struggle to move forward, right? Because that's where the fear kind of comes up, because you're like, oh shoot, I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know if I can control it. I don't know if I can like maneuver this because I don't know them. But if you get to know them as if you're having coffee or a margarita, as we do around here, or kombucha, or bourbon, whatever you got to do, just have that conversation across the table with fear and like what comes out of that. I think that'd be a really interesting exercise.
I think Cheyenne and I have talked about this, I think, before. I spent the majority of my life, as we all have, but I remember looking back, you know, I had a incredibly privileged childhood. I have two incredible parents. An incredible family, and ironically, a big, real uncomfortable truth that I experienced over the last 2 years is if I had to clock what's like the number one emotion you felt in your entire life, it was fear. Looking back on, you know, my childhood, my 20s, I was so afraid constantly. And it was amazing the ways that fear would manifest, whether I was oftentimes like most of us that were societally raised male experience, you know, your fear is a bad thing to feel. So any kind of emotion you react with anger, right? Because that's the socially acceptable emotion. And so I remember thinking like, being an actor, and everybody's like, wow, you have that whole like rage thing down, Connor. You play angry like really, really, really well. And it wasn't until, you know, the last couple of years that I realized it wasn't anger that I was feeling at all. Is I was scared. I was constantly scared. I was scared I wasn't enough. I was scared that the people that I looked up to, I wasn't fulfilling some thing. I wasn't who I was supposed to be. I was, you know, I wasn't who I thought others thought I should be. And when you start to get, as you said, God, I love that image of almost like inviting your fear in with you, looking at yourself in the mirror, and just for the first step is acknowledging that something is happening, which feels disgusting. It feels like it's disgusting to acknowledge that something is happening. But once you know, look at it and you're like, you're afraid, and that's okay. Why are you afraid? What's going on? Let's get curious about this, and you realize that, you know, I got into life coaching, I got into all of these things. And we can talk about this if you want, but like really digging into you hear this thrown around a lot, digging into your why. and we look at, you know, your why is something that is kind of like a deep, it hits where the kombucha goes. You know what I'm saying? Like it is a deep, your why is not like a particular job. Like, for example, the last couple of years, I realized, you know, oh, I am a storyteller. Everything that I do is viewed through the lens of a story and wanting to tell a story and wanting to learn other people's stories, and tell a good story in the most compelling way possible. And when I realized that, all of a sudden, all of the things that I was like, why can't I do this? I'm feeling all of this shame. Like I'm supposed to start my big old life coaching business, and I'm supposed to get on Instagram, and I'm supposed to have like a button up shirt and look like I'm on I'm supposed to like look like Elon Musk, and I'm supposed to like look like this. And
don't get us started.
And, oh yeah, no, I know. And I like, but even after that episode, I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm supposed to do this. And I tried, and something was not working. It wasn't taking off. And all of a sudden it realized, I'm like, oh, it's because there's nothing wrong. I just don't actually want to fucking do this.
Yeah.
This isn't who I am. And that realization is freeing and terrifying all at the same time, because I'm not saying this is easy, gang, coming into your authentic self, because oftentimes our loved ones, we love them. The people in our lives, we love them, but they have become accustomed, and everybody's got manuals. They've got manuals for you, right? Our parents, we love them to death. They have a vision of who they want you to be, right? And of course they do. Of course they do, right? We have manuals. We love humans, right? Humans are constantly, we want other people to show up a certain way. But when you lean into your authentic self, there might be a chance that there are going to be people that have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
And that's really the scariest thing, because oftentimes I find that all of this fear is rooted back into, I'm going to get booted out of community.
Yeah.
How did you address that question? Is the permission slip you wrote for yourself, I don't want to do this? Like, is that the turning point? Like, how are you showing up for your authentic self now? Because my question earlier about you not practicing magic was a little loaded and untrue, because you practice a fairly powerful form of magic in a lot of different ways, both as an actor and in your online life. Like, you are kind of the epitome of glamour magic and what I believe glamour magic to be. Like, glamour magic isn't just like beating a cute face, right? Like, no, it goes so much deeper than that. And like, glamour magic is how you show up in this world. And that shit is crazy powerful.
My every skin follicle is tingling right now. That was getting... You heard it here first. I'm gonna make a prediction right now and go on the record. You can record
all right,
it.
All right.
I
he says you can record it. We've been recording for 40 minutes.
I know, right? Oh, that's terrifying. That is the greatest compliment I have ever, or probably no, or will ever receive.
High praise.
You just heard high glamour.
Very young. I feel like there's glamour magic. Opportunity.
I do wish you all could see the video. This is like where it's a bummer sometimes that you are only getting this audio auditorily, because like, I wish you could have just seen that face that Connor just made when he heard Cheyenne give him the compliment of glamour magic. You just see it like sink in. It was very sweet and wholesome.
Oh man. No, that's the permission slip that I wrote to myself, and it was very scary, was I am no longer interested, as uncomfortable as it's going to be, I am no longer interested in trying to be what I think somebody else's version of myself is. Because at the end of the day, and maybe you know, we're all kind of have now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, entered into our 30s. Crossed this threshold, or are getting close to crossing this threshold. I'm not outing anybody's ages here.
No, that's okay.
Just
No, I mean, we started this podcast at the beginning of our returns, which is like 28. So like this was supposed to document that tower moment in our lives, actually.
Also, really quick side note, as you said, your really powerful statement about not wanting to be a version that other people think you are, an orb like flew across your face and went out of the screen. Ooh. Somebody agreed with that, just had to say so.
Oh, I missed it. I was too busy looking at myself. It was like a true Libra.
It was a very like, it was very prominent too. I was like, dang, did everybody else just see that? Because that was definitely an orb.
That,
love that.
Whoever you are, thanks for being here.
Back at your parents' house too. It's probably a cute little spirit who's been around you for a while.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute when you think about it, to see them see you come full circle.
You should put a little treat out for them. Do a little milk and honey.
Do it.
Milk and honey. I got milk and honey. I can do that.
They also like a little bit of bourbon too. So
bourbon. Yeah, booze. Spirits like spirit. So spirit is
okay. Good. Okay, I learned so much when I come on here. I think it was it is this feeling that, and it's easy to start to feel resentful because you have this realization like, oh man, I have not been doing myself a fair turn. I have been so busy, worried about all of these other things that like I see
that is
what
a
I want
right there. That is like, ooh.
Yeah. And I'm, and there is a, there could be a feeling of resentment where you start to resent all of those, what you can view as wasted years. And what I'm going to offer is that those years were not wasted. You were exactly who you needed to be in that moment because you're here. Right, the fact that you are here means everything that you did were all just your body, your mind, the way we show up in the world, your body, your mind, your soul is just trying to keep you safe. And so that version of you, it's just you coming in, why I said, you know, crossing that threshold of 30 is all of a sudden you realize these old patterns, these protected me, and this was great, but I don't need this anymore. And as a matter of fact, this has now become a hindrance. It's now holding me back. It's that moment, because I'm a fantasy nerd, right? Like you've been fighting the Gorgon or whatever in the lake, and the armor has started to rust, right?
Yeah.
So the armor protected you, but now it's a hindrance because it's rusting and you're stuck and things are
you're getting tetanus.
You're getting stiff. You're getting tetanus. Yeah. And you can't fight Gorgons, gang. You're getting tetanus. You can't slay dragons if you've got tetanus. So it's okay to take off the armor. You're like, but they are like things like I'm opening myself up. I'll be vulnerable if I don't have armor. I'm like, yes, you will be vulnerable. But you will be fast. You'll have agility. Everything is a trade-off, right? All magic comes with a price and all the great stories. So, you know, the Beowulf who, you know, every one of the warriors has failed to take down this giant, and he decides to take his armor off. And like a typical male, he does it because it's the hubris of, oh, he's not wearing armor, so I'm not going to wear armor, which is cool. But really, the reason what I take out of that story and why that works is, it works because he's doing something. He's breaking a cycle. He's doing something that no one else has done before him, which is I'm taking the armor off, and that way I'm going to be faster. I'm going to be harder to hear. And is able to defeat this because he opted to make himself vulnerable in the short term for a long term payoff.
So I feel like this is a good segue. We asked some of our listeners two questions. We asked listeners what permission slip they need us to write them for the new year, but we also asked them if they could tell their inner child something. What would they say? So I want to go through the inner child permission slips first and just validate what these little sweet members of our coven need.
Okay, I've like never really gotten like emotional in a podcast.
I know.
I'm like, I don't think I can make it through this one. I'm like crying at some point.
We're going to keep these anonymous. To those of you who responded to our poll, thank you very much. We really appreciate you. And we hope we can give you this gift. We're excited to give you this gift because this year is going to be great. This year's going to be great for so many of us for so many reasons. And Moon Mama Gina is going to come back in a couple of weeks and tell us why.
And also, I was always told by a dear mentor of mine that odd years are good years. Even years is when everything like blows up. 2020, 2008. So we're going into an odd year. So that means it's going to be all good.
2016.
Exactly. You can't feel
what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be in a meat suit on Earth.
Whoa.
Okay. So permission slip for inner child number one is to not give two shits about what society or other people tell you to be or how to behave. Snaps for inner child.
Hopefully those come through on the Zoom.
I know Zoom is really bad at getting out background noise, so you can't have
ambient noise. Yeah.
Number two, it is okay to leave the church. It does not define you. You are enough. You matter. You can make a good life for yourself, and you are worthy of love.
Cheers.
They know. They're so good. Don't stop being the weird, funny, interesting person you are, and trust yourself.
Fuck yeah. This is our coven. They're amazing.
Yeah, everyone's just so sweet. And our last one is, you are not responsible for the happiness of your family, just your own happiness, which is why we're bringing it full circle. You're not responsible for anyone, sweet littles, except for yourself. That's it.
Yeah, I would like broaden that one, like family, work, friends, like you have to put you first, loves.
Yes, you cannot pour from an empty cup. Even though I try to a lot of the time.
Same.
Even though I'm like, we can get that ice will melt. We'll get a little bit more out of that. It's like second drink.
Yeah. No, so I just.
You? What's a permission slip for your little, for your inner child? What's one you would write? One I would write for mine. I've been thinking about this for a while. I don't know why. But I remember when I was in like probably fourth or fifth grade, we were living in Michigan. And I remember auditioning for the musical, the school musical. And one of the girls behind me whispered to her friend, "She's always so loud." And I went into my audition right after that, and I gave it like 50%. I still got the lead. Don't worry about it. But
fifth grade girl that was being mean to Cheyenne.
My 50% is still a lot because I'm fucking loud. but mine would be to be loud. Just be loud. Do the thing. Sing the song how you want to sing the song.
Sing out, Louise. Sing out.
I think mine would be that your wildness is something that is sacred and should be treasured. Because I used to like make fun of myself and be like, I was this like little feral child who ran barefoot in the woods and like talked to trees and loved having dirt everywhere, right? And then like as you get older, you start caring about what other people think, and you're like, ah, dang, I should probably brush my hair. wear what people say. And I wish I hadn't let go of that, because that was a very valuable piece of myself I'm trying to recultivate again, is my connection to wildness.
I love that so much. I also, this is like unrelated but related, but I think as like recovering people pleasers, maybe other people can relate to this. But when you played pretend, did you kill your parents all the time? Because I was an orphan all the time, because I didn't know how to do these things and still have a connection to like me. Like I couldn't live out my Boxcar Children fantasies in the woods without first coming up with a backstory about how my parents-
Or just a runaway, something tragic had to happen.
Yeah, it always had to be a tragic orphan backstory so that I could like actually be present with my play, because I was still too worried about how my relationships with other people-
because whenever I played pretend, I was always like a dog.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I was a dog a lot too.
I want to see this series. Like, I'm telling you. So all the best, all witches are hot, and all hot people have
IBS.
Upset tummies. IBS. They also are the best actors and tell the best stories.
True.
That's a fact. You heard it here, and I will die on that hill. I love that. embrace the wild. I would tell the permission slip I would give to my younger self is that the energy and the impulses, the sensitivity, the emotions, all of that are not a problem. They are your magic, and they're your strength. I spent a lot of time in my youth. Well, Dad, if you ever listen to this, I hope he gets a chance to listen to this. You know, talking about
Jerry.
You know, communication and authenticity. My dad is amazing. He's the best dad in the world. And I spent a lot of time, I think a big part, worried that I wasn't masculine enough. I wasn't man enough. I had this 6'4" dad who was, you know, the quintessential cowboy, right? Just he was John Wayne. He was Sam Elliott. He was the searchers, right? Like, he was the dude that rode in and took out all the bad guys at the end of the Western, right? And I was always so worried that, and I created this story, and stories are powerful. I was telling myself this story that he was disappointed in me, and that he was ashamed of me. And then, you know, fairly recently, within the last few years, man, I'll never forget it. We were just driving up. My mom is, you know, works for the Forest Service. She's retired now, but she's still on a firefighting team.
Go listen to the episode. You knew this.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I. We're all children of the Forest Service.
Yeah, this is the whole thing. Smokey, I forget Bear. About what we talked about in our episodes, but I feel like
we used to cut our firewood down
as kids.
We used to cut our firewood down at Connor's parents' house.
Oh. Anyway, sorry.
They had a hot tub in their basement, and it was fucking.
We did. We did indeed. Oh man, it was. So, I was always so excited when Cheyenne came over. Like, oh, it's the best. So I look forward to the
princess game.
She plays and that's what I'm talking about. It was like, you know, look, I was like, I just played princess with my friend Cheyenne. My dad was like, what did my dad think of me? I was telling myself this story that I was, you know, not this enough or not that enough. And it wasn't a few years ago where, you know, I was driving with my dad up in the UN as we were visiting my mom, because she was up there fighting a fire up in the UNS, and we just drove up there to visit her and say hi. And we're driving back, and Dad was telling me, because he used to be a ranger up in the UNS. He was like, hey, that's where I worked. And we were driving through, and we got quiet for a second, and he said to me, I'm incredibly proud to have you as a son. And I think you are you're a beacon and you're a light in everybody that you come into contact with, and I have I couldn't be more proud. And I lost my shit. And but yeah, so the stories that we tell ourselves, even if there is circumstantial truth in there, that maybe your parents do feel that way, or people do view you a certain way, the permission slip I'd give to that kid is who you are is never wrong. It is, I think, oftentimes when we view, you know, the problems come when we are I think that maybe one of the great roots of all evil in the world is derives from shame. It derives from trying to run away from who we actually are and being ashamed of who we are and being made ashamed and being isolated because of that. So what makes what you two are doing so powerful? It was fascinating, Shale, that you said that you're not a teacher. But when I think about, you know, we're talking about these ancient cultures and this ancient wisdom, you two look at the community that you have cultivated, like an amazing garden, and you are two mentors and teachers and have mentors within this community and provide a space. I think back to, you know, think about some, I don't know, some little kid, maybe a younger sibling or a child of somebody that listens to your podcast that's going to run across this and go, wow. So I can be wild and barefoot and run in the woods, and it's going to
oh,
be
I love that.
Like that's cool and that's okay. And you become an example of what's possible.
Thank you for that, Connor.
Both of you. I mean it. There is a beauty and a wisdom within community, within these practices that and it was intentional that people try to erase. And boy, I can't think of, you know, we talk about, like, as somebody, you know, like you, Connor, you don't practice magic or anything, but I view this as what greater act of rebellion and liberation is there than claiming autonomy and power and being an example of what's possible, and again, when there's every reason not to, in the face of fear, leaning into authenticity, looking at your younger self and your, and just the act of talking to your past self, heals those wounds, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Magic. My God.
Connor, I would probably let someone stab me in the throat to save your life.
Please don't. That would devastate me.
I would do it. Do it. This weird, wild, unasked for act of valiance. I'm giving it to you today.
Oh wow.
Christmas. No, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, gang.
Okay, so on that note, before we let you go, so you can go tell your dad that we talk about him every day.
I love that.
Also, will you give your dad a hug from the OBMM fam? Like, this was such a beautiful moment and to you too, Connor, thank you. That was a very vulnerable moment you shared with us. And we're just very grateful. You're the type of person who walks the talk. Like, you talk about expressing vulnerability and you do that yourself, you embody it. And it was just it was an honor to be able to share that and witness that story you shared with us. So thank you. Just wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm just tickled pink to get to talk to you two. Are you kidding me? Like, this is, sometimes I keep forgetting that we're recording. Like, I'm just like, oh, we're just hanging out.
Those are the best episodes, truly. Because that's all this is, right? Like, this is community. This is friendship. It's the magic of friendship.
It's the magic of friendship.
Okay. But because we love our listeners and we have lives to get to and things to do and dinners to eat, let's mm-hmm. drop a whole slew of Perwichen slips on our listeners for the next year. So I have a couple from people online of either goals they're working towards in 2023 or something they want to leave behind in the past year. So we can commentate on these ones more than we did the inner child ones.
Okay, so they're giving us the thing they want to work on and we're giving
and
them
then
slip. Got it.
So first one is a manifestation. We're manifesting a move to Alaska for one of our listeners with their partner. So everyone just put that big collective energy out there right now. that Alaska is going to happen. If Alaska is for your highest and greatest good and it is what you guys want, absolutely, you're going to be there.
Alaska's on the phone calling you saying, come home, baby.
Pick come up. Home. You just got to pick up.
The moose are up there going. Yeah, the moose are up there going, where are you?
Just going to stop picturing like moose out there like, what's going on? Why am I suddenly screaming into the abyss?
Where are you? Oh, so good. Okay. This witch will appreciate that.
Also, you can't expect our permission slips to not be a little weird and unhinged.
No, they're going to be weird.
That's the whole vibe around here.
Okay. We need to write a permission slip now for someone who wants to only do the things that truly make them feel like themselves. So your permission slip is to say no to everything that doesn't align with that.
In the great words of Marisha Murnauska, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
It's a fuck no.
Period.
Saying no. I can still love somebody profusely and tell them no.
Hell yes.
That's and we all need to learn that. Like, I understand there are especially all of us, but especially certain members within our society that have been told that no is something that has to constantly be negotiated or something that you have to be ashamed of saying. You know, we talk about consent in a very specific context, but being like the act of saying no is so important, gang, to cultivating your authentic self. It's a requirement. So let those no's fly.
Yes.
Let them fly.
This one piggybacks on that. This person's goal is also to say no more and do the things that only bring them joy. No more people pleasing. So one more note, one more caveat to the end of everything we just said about that is that no is a complete sentence.
Yeah.
Stop. You don't have to explain it either. You can just say no. Okay. Next one. I want to leave behind spending stupid amounts of money on things I don't need.
You are never going to be able to get enough of something you don't actually want.
Mm.
That was a really good one, because I was like, I spend money way too much, so I don't feel like I have a good one. And that's an excellent response.
No, this is one that I want to work towards too. So I like that of like everything you need, you probably already have, genuinely. Like you've got the tools, you've got the things, if you've got a roof over your head and a nice place to sleep, you're doing all right.
Yep.
It's just stuff. We talked about it a lot in season one when we were talking about kind of starting this journey and finding your way along this path. All the cool tools and crystals and shit in the whole world doesn't make you a more powerful witch. That goes across the board for all the other stuff. All the stuff doesn't make you anything. You are not defined by the stuff.
Your story is within you, gang.
Yes.
Yes. Your story is within you. Okay, I like that for an episode title. You said something else earlier I meant to write down.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about how do we top Rise Like a Flaming Ass Phoenix? So.
Y'all, what... When do I get to see you in person? Like,
that's what I'm wondering.
Yesterday.
You can come with me tomorrow if you wanted.
Listen,
well, probably wouldn't have because the, you know, Storm Elliot has messed up flights all Elliot. Across the region. But tomorrow is another day.
Tomorrow's another. Well, you're both in Colorado. I should probably just like hop out there and like sometime in the spring.
All right. How far are we driving? How far are you from Moab?
Oh yeah, OBMM Moab retreat with Connor.
Like if you're at your parents, like how far are you from Moab? Because Moab's only 5 hours from us here.
Less than 3 hours.
Done.
We could literally do a day trip and make it happen.
Yep.
Okay, our last one. I want to let go of self-doubt and to be happy.
Ooh, I feel like Connor's gonna have a good one for this. I can just feel it.
So the opposite of self-doubt is self-confidence. And the only way, so the definition of self-confidence or the definition of confidence, I my favorite definition of confidence is, because it's two parts. It is believing that no matter what, you're enough, which is something that gets thrown around a lot. Yeah, I know people are like, I'm enough. Well, what does that mean? And it's in the second part, which is, I trust that no matter what obstacle that I run into, I trust myself that I'm going to be able to figure it out, that I will be enough to either do it or learn to do it or fail and learn from that failure. It is the act of a trust, of a belief in self. In the same way we believe, we have beliefs and thoughts and assertions about everything, the belief that I can do this. Even if I don't know right now how I'm going to get through it, I know I can figure it out. Self-doubt is a belief that no matter what, I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to get through this season of life. Yes, you will. You have the wisdom of the ancients within you. You have hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution. All
you
of
have
that power.
Boots on because you didn't.
You've got old leather boots. Even if you threw them away, you can never really throw away the old boots. They're still sitting there. They're like magic leather boots. They kind of follow you around. They're always there for you. You're enough.
I love that.
That's all.
Gorgeous. Yeah, you're enough. You're enough, witches. I feel like that, like, overarching is a great one. Before we go, Connor, where can everyone find your thirst traps?
My thirst traps. Oh, gang, it has been what a wild time to be. If you would have told me 2 years ago that, like, first of all, I didn't even know what a thirst trap was. And that
well, you're
I would
good
be,
at them now, sir.
I'd be putting them out. Yeah, part of self-confidence is also learning to, you know, embrace every side of yourself, and they're fun. We like them. You can find me on TikTok. I'm on there with the kids. TikTok, Connor the Bard. Listen, it's
you cannot say you're on TikTok with children after I just called you out for Thursday.
I know. So, like, after that came out of my mouth, I realized how that sounded, and I was like, and
no,
we never heard
adults only
about him ever again. 18 plus. No, I just meant, like, because I was always this person that was like, TikTok's stupid.
It's for Gen Z.
TikTok,
yeah.
That's dumb. Those kids and their newfangled stuff, they don't understand. Don't tell me how to use an emoji. I was there when it was written. I was there when the laws of the internet were written.
You still had to tell someone to hang up the phone to get on it.
Yeah, I was there when I heard that. So you can find me on TikTok, Connor the Bard, same name on Instagram.
We'll
come hang out. We have a
as always.
Yeah, come hang out. We have a good time, but also definitely, gang, you have a special community here, and I'm privileged to be a part of it. And man. Special. It is magic. Community is magic.
I love you, awesome.
Thanks, Connor.
I hope everyone
I love
has
you, gang.
Best fucking year ever.
Yes. We are going to freaking rock this year.
Yeah.
Woo!
Join our book club if you haven't already. Keep the community going. And we'll see you later. Cheers, witches.
Cheers.
Bye, gang.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us. Also, we want to connect with our spooky marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.